You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you're following me on Twitter as well at King underscore producer. That's where we can continue the conversation, or you can hit me up on Facebook. If you're not already liked the Facebook page, go ahead and do that at facebook.com/lockedongrizzlies. I appreciate everybody's Monday mailbag questions yesterday. I thought it was a good one. The Grizzlies lose another one last night to the Pelicans. They are in a free fall. They have now lost six straight, and we're going to talk about that Pelicans game. Just a little bit more about the state of the Grizzlies as well on today's show. No guests today, just going to be me. So it won't be as it'll be a bit of a shorter show today, but, the Grizzlies, we'll talk about this Pelicans Grizzlies game first. And this game is a game where I had a lot of hope for this game. I thought this was a game that they had a very, very good chance at, and they just, you know, they couldn't stop. First of all, they couldn't stop Anthony Davis, but you know, there's not a whole lot of people that can. So like, I give them, you take that with a grain of salt. Anthony Davis with 36 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. I mean, fine, whatever. He just had a crazy first quarter. I mean, just went bananas in the first, and the Grizzlies couldn't do anything to stop the Pelicans' transition scoring. I mean, they had so many open buckets. I mean, the Grizzlies' transition defense were just it was not great. I mean, it was just not good. Every time there was it seems like a fast break, there was a few Grizzlies jogging back, and then there was four Pelicans players that were trying to score the basket. I mean, it was 4-on-2, 4-on-1 fast breaks were largely just not good for the Grizzlies. It seems like the Grizzlies got fast, or the Pelicans got fast break points after fast break points. Fast break points in this game was 23-9 for the Pelicans. Some other team stats that look out. Oddly enough, they only got out-rebounded by 4, which is, again, one of the things they struggle. The Grizzlies actually made double-digit three-pointers, which is doesn't happen often. Doesn't happen often in today's NBA or for the Grizzlies team. It happens a lot more often in the NBA, just not for this team. And the Pelicans only made 6 three-pointers, and the Grizzlies made 10. So, you know, they win that matchup, but they're out-hustled pretty much. I mean, points off of turnovers, 26 points for the Pelicans off of 18 turnovers. The Grizzlies just – that was the other issue. They couldn't keep the hold of the ball. It just seemed like they were – and they weren't turnovers where they were – the Pelicans were stealing the ball or putting them in the bad spots. It was just a lot of unforced turnovers. And the Pelicans had their fair share of unforced turnovers as well. But that was one thing the Grizzlies just could not – could not rectify. It seemed like the entire game. The second quarter was better than the first quarter, but they get back into the third quarter, and as we all know, the third quarter it was just not great, as most third quarters go for this Grizzlies team, but it was not good for this Grizzlies team. They only scored 22 points, get outscored by 11 there in that third quarter. And the first quarter, it wasn't a great quarter for them, but they kept up. It was 27-31 after one. It wasn't a great quarter for the Grizzlies themselves, but you know, they let Anthony Davis go kind of crazy. It wasn't a great quarter, but at least they kept up. But in that third quarter, it just really killed them. I mean, they were outscored by 11, and in the fourth quarter, when it was largely over, they were still outscored 28-22. So, you know, just not something you can have. The Grizzlies, again, they have gone from bad to worse, and this team just continues to reel out of control. But like I said, 23 points fast break points for the Pelicans to 9 fast break points for the Grizzlies. Now that's a big difference, and that's where your real problem lies here with this Grizzlies team or with this game last night. Just you know, just not good enough in the transition defense. Every time you look up, they were running out for a bucket, and said there were either, you know, a couple players jogging back here and there, but nobody was getting back. Even after made baskets, the Pelicans were really, really pushing the ball, and the Grizzlies either just weren't looking, you know, didn't have their heads up, or were just jogging back after Grizzlies made basket, and the Pelicans were pushing the ball. Jrue Holiday was really, you know, pushing the pace of the game, and the Grizzlies were either looking up when he was flying, but after he was flying by them down the lane for unassisted layup or a wide open layup or whatever. I mean, there's just these are and that should never happen. You should never have like a fast break, basically a fast break point come off of a made basket for your own team. That's just lazy. And the Grizzlies had more than one of those. I will say that I just remember watching last night, just more than one part of the game where they'd had a made basket and the Pelicans just came, Jrue Holiday just came running down the court, and nobody picked him up. Nobody even looked up till it was either too late and just, you know, they pick up a foul or just, you know, just entirely too late. The Grizzlies, as far as their offense is concerned, just terrible. I mean, you have, at one point you look up and until the fourth quarter, it was Mike Conley and Jamaica Green in double figures. And that's it. And Mike Conley has 22 points, 10 assists, two steals. And Jamaica Green has 16 points, 5 rebounds. I mean, there was a point where in the third quarter, I think I even tweeted this late in the third, early the fourth maybe, that those were the only guys in double figures. No Garrett Temple, no Kyle Anderson, no Martinus, nobody. Jaren Jackson Jr. gets in double figures later in the game, but by that point it was over. Jaren Jackson Jr. ends up doesn't foul out, but gets pulled out of the game with 5 fouls. I mean, he was in foul trouble early. I mean, a lot of this game was those fouls were his fault. You know, just you can't do that. I mean, obviously you're a rookie and you'll learn as time goes on. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, but, you have to learn when to foul. I mean, if you're in the second quarter and you have 2 fouls, or if you're in the third quarter and you have 3 fouls, that is, you know, if you have one more foul than the quarter, second quarter, 3 fouls, third quarter, 4 fouls. I mean, those are the times when you really just have to lay back and you really can't be, you know, swiping or, you know, you fouled a 3-point shooter. I mean, there's no reason to do that. You know, you have to close out short on those things and just give up the 3. I mean, that's really what it is, because you mean more on the court, on the offense, than you do sitting on the bench. So you can't just continue to do that as Jaren Jackson Jr. Did last night. I mean, he really put himself in a bad spot from the get-go. But, you know, JB also, I was surprised. He had 3 fouls out there, and JB left him out there. And so this was a game where I don't blame JB at all here, because you kind of had, you know, Jaren was forcing his hand in some of these things. He let him play through some of his fouls. He was technically in foul trouble, if you want to call it that, with 3 fouls, but let him play through. Then he got his 4th, and it's just kind of like, well, you have to find the balance of taking him out of the game and keeping him for possibly, you know, in the fourth quarter, but you also weigh that between either saving him for the fourth quarter, but if you're not in it in the fourth quarter, then it won't matter anymore. And that's kind of how the Grizzlies were last night. In the minutes that Jaren was in there, he was really good. I mean, he was really good against Julius Randle. You know, I think he was able to get a lot of things, pretty much anything that he was able to get, but only plays 21 minutes because of the foul trouble. So that's a thing where, you know, I thought he was effective in the minutes he was played. And unfortunately, you have to balance the fact that if you play him, he might foul out, you know, he might get even more foul trouble. And then you don't even have him available at the fourth if you're in it. But if you don't put him in the game right now, you might not be in it in the fourth. And so that's the problem that comes with the Grizzlies not having other people to step up and make baskets. I mean, Mike Conley, I mean, we say it all the time. I heard everybody says it. People write about it. People say it. I say it. Mike Conley needs help. I mean, he can't continue to do, he can't score all the baskets. I mean, it's just doesn't work like that. He can't score all the baskets. He can't go 22 points. He had a great game, 22 points on tennis and 10 assists. I mean, it was 8-for-10 from the line. He wasn't great from the field. It wasn't super effective. It wasn't super efficient. But again, he's the only one taking shots because no one else will. Marc Gasol just was not good. Marc Gasol was 7 points, 5 rebounds. He did have 4 assists, but he fouled out of the game. He passed up open shot after open shot, was 3-for-10 from the field, 0-for-4 from the 3-point line, which is just not good. There's a point where, again, Marc Gasol has to learn that sometimes his worst shot is the team's best shot, and he's never been able to quite grasp that. And that's really the inherent problem with Marc Gasol, is that he can't ever quite grasp the fact that, you know, sometimes it might not be a great shot for you, but it's better than whatever else you got on the floor. So, that's frustrating. You know, it's very frustrating to watch because Marc Gasol had several open looks, and you have to, you know, even if you're 0-for-2 from 3 and they're going to leave you open, you have to continue to shoot the ball because you can make those shots. You still have to continue to drive to the basket to try to draw fouls. I mean, those are things you have to do, but Marc Gasol didn't do any of those things. He hasn't done any of those things since the start of the year, and he's been largely ineffective, whether it be an injury, which I think is largely the case, or whatever you want to attribute it to. But Marc Gasol has not been good. And the reason this team is losing, it starts with Marc Gasol. It starts right there with him. You know, the other part of it is just scoring. I mean, you have people on the bench that, you know, Justin Holiday, the big trade for Justin Holiday, he's been 2 points and 4 points, I think, in the last couple of games. I mean, Joakim Noah Joakim Noah and Omri Caspi are the best next bench players at 9 points and 8 points. And that, you know, if you're going to rely on Omri Caspi for 18 minutes and 9 points every night, I think that is a recipe for disaster. If you're going to rely on Joakim Noah to get you 8 points every night, as we've seen, he cannot clearly do that on any night. That is a problem. And so, you know, those are your two biggest issues with this team. We'll talk about that more. We'll talk about the team mentality more coming up in the next segment and falling into that third segment. So stick with us through the break. Welcome back to the show. Again, we just want to continue that conversation that we were talking about before. The Grizzlies' problems as a whole. And they start with Marc Gasol. And Marc Gasol has not been good since he went down with an ankle injury, which was after the 12-5 start. And it's no coincidence the Grizzlies were 12-5, and Marc Gasol was playing some of his best basketball that he's ever played. Ever. Not even like not since last year, but ever. He had been the best defensive player this year, better than he'd ever been his entire year. He was shooting the ball better. He was rebounding the ball better. He was doing every single thing better that he'd done in previous years than he'd ever been. He'd been better than he had ever been in each category. There had been years where he was a great defensive player. There had been years where he'd be a great rebounder. There had been years where he'd be a great offensive player. But this year, he had done all those things together in the first portion of the year. And there's no coincidence that he goes down with an ankle injury, and instead of sitting for a couple weeks, resting, getting healthy, he decides to go out and play like 45 minutes, or, you know, that next game was a double overtime. So he played like 45 minutes that night. It just doesn't make sense. I understand what you're trying to do. I understand that it sucks because you want to help your fellow players. I get that. I mean, I totally get it, but there's a point where you playing on an injured ankle is not helping the team at all. It actually is making them worse. As we clearly have seen, they haven't been as good as they were in the beginning of the year. So at what point do you not understand and do you not realize that what you're doing right now is only making the team worse? For whatever you think you're going to do, whatever you think you're helping the team out there, you're not. You're not at all. You should be sitting down, resting your body, and then come back and be just as good as you were. Because guess what? They lost all the games anyway. So you didn't help them at all. You didn't do anything that you thought you were going to do. And so this short-sighted, this what someone tweeted me last night is selflessness, misguided selflessness, or I can't remember the way they put it, but selfishness disguised as selflessness, something like that. I mean, that's a perfect way to put Marc Gasol, because he has this idea, this grandiose idea that he's helping the team by sticking it out and being the better guy and trying to be out there on the floor, but you're not helping. You're not doing anything. The best way you can help the team is by get healthy. And so it starts with Marc Gasol. If you don't understand the fact that you sitting on the bench makes the team better in the long term, not being so short-sighted, then I don't know what to do. And if the Grizzlies as a franchise can't tell one player, if the coach or the general manager can't be like, hey, Mark, look, you're hurt, man. You've got to sit down. You're not playing. You're inactive, period. That's in the story. You're hurt. We want you to be better for the team, for yourself, for your health-wise, for your, you know, long-term health-wise. We want you to be healthy. And so you're going to sit down for a week or two or whatever it is. And yes, they might lose some games. They might. We don't know. But for your long-term health, for the Grizzlies' long-term future, to possibly get better in the long run, if you want to make the playoffs, if that's a real idea, if you still think that's something that you want to do, well, guess what? We need you in April, and we need you in May. You know, if you want to go long-term and deep into the season, we need you late into the season. And so these games in November aren't going to be, at that point, are going to be insignificant. So we need you to be healthy when you need to be healthy. And if the Grizzlies can't simply do that as a front office, as a general manager, or as a coach, if you can't do that, even to your star player, then I don't know how to help this team. I don't know how you help this team. They can't help themselves. I mean, you look at LeBron James. He understands that when he's hurt, he has to sit. It's just that simple. And if the Grizzlies, Marc Gasol doesn't understand it, and the Grizzlies can't seem to tell their star player, hey, man, we want you to be healthy not only for your own health, for your long-term future, but also for the long-term future of this franchise. We want you to help to be healthy not only for the end of this year, but for going forward. If they want to keep him for, you know, multiple years and re-sign him, you can't continue to let a guy go out there knowingly be hurt. And whatever you thought he was, said he was, his ankle injury was done, whatever, but then he's questionable because of a hamstring issue, and he was getting work on it the night after, I believe it wasn't the Pistons game, it was the game after that, at home. I saw him come out of the locker room after getting treatment on it. He didn't say anything about it, but I just noticed that he had gotten treatment on it. And you go to the next day, and he still goes out and plays the entire minute load, does everything he was probably already going to do. So this is a team that, you know, you need to sit Marc Gasol. He needs to get healthy because their defense starts and ends with Marc Gasol. As good as he was this year, at the beginning of this year, it's not a coincidence that you were great at the beginning of this year because Mark and Mike were great, and now you're not because you only have one person, one half of that equation doing anything at all. And Marc Gasol's going out there playing, you know, 30, 35 minutes a game and scoring less than, you know, maybe 10 points a night. Sure, he rebounds, but what does he do on offense? What did he do on the defensive end? He's not as quick. He can't get up on the screens. All the things we've talked about already on this podcast, those are things you have to do to be able to be great. And Marc Gasol, it starts with him. And you have to be able to tell Marc Gasol, hey, man, you got to sit down. And so it's unfortunate, but the Grizzlies, they're not going to. And the end result of this conversation is they're not going to do that. They're going to let Marc Gasol do whatever Marc Gasol wants to do, and that's unfortunate. So hopefully they would be more wise to what's best for their franchise, but they're not, and they won't be, and that's unfortunate. But stay with us through the break. We're going to talk about what the Grizzlies should be doing for the long term. Welcome back to the show. The Grizzlies, again, like I said, lose to the Pelicans 114-95 last night. They are in this spiral out of control. See a lot of people saying tank, tank, tank. You know, I think that's probably not a great idea. I mean, and the only reason it's not a great idea is because you're too far in it now. You are, you know, 18 wins in now. You know, so there are so many other bad teams right now in this tank race, if you will. You know, the backwards race of the NBA, There's so many bad teams that I don't know if you can catch up. I think it's too late to tank. So I think you have to continue doing what you were always going to do, which is try to make the playoffs and try to get that pick to Boston. You have Cleveland at 8 wins, Phoenix at 9 wins, Chicago, New York had 10 wins, Atlanta has 12 wins, Washington 16, Orlando and Detroit have 17, and then there you set Memphis and Dallas at 18. So you're not going to catch Cleveland and Phoenix. It's just not. Cleveland's not even going to be close to winning 8. I don't think they're going to win 18 games this year. I don't think they're going to get to where you're at right now. And so I don't think you reach Cleveland, Phoenix, Chicago, or New York. And that's a top four picks. In this draft, I mean, I don't watch a lot of college basketball, but I know that Zion Williamson is the best player in the draft. You know, beyond that, it's kind of a toss up. And so, even Atlanta at 5, they only have 12 wins. I don't know if you're going to catch them either. I mean, Washington, Orlando, and Detroit, 6, 17, 18. Those are the teams you'd probably be looking at for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you got to finish. You got to finish 8th or above to keep the pick. 9th or below, you convey that pick. And so, do you really want to finish 6th, 7th, and 8th for a guy in a draft that might be okay? I mean, I don't know. Even if you want to do that, you have to trademark. You have to be really, really bad. I mean, you got to get rid of a lot. You have trademark Mike. I mean, you got to blow it up, and you got to tank. You got to be really bad. And the problem with being really bad is – there are other people that are way worse. Like in today's NBA, like to be able to lose that well, or however you want to put it, to be able to lose that many games, you have to be actively trying to, like, it's hard to lose that many games. As you saw last year with the Grizzlies, we wanted them to lose. We wanted them to tank, and they won some games late. They really put them in a worse spot. I mean, it's hard. And so, I think at this point you can't do that. I mean, at this point you're in this weird middle where you really, it's kind of too late to be bad, and you're not really good enough to be good. And so that's the problem with this. Like, if you get into the NBA and you reach into this like meandering nowhere of the middle, which is terrible to be. It's just terrible to be at, because you could be there forever. You're not really good enough to be good. You're not really bad enough to be bad. That's the worst spot you could ever be in. So, like, if you want to be bad, you have to actively be bad. You have to actively tank. And so I don't think that's where the Grizzlies are at, or probably going to be. I don't think that's something you can do at this point, because you're just too far into it. I saw something where the Grizzlies are still projected to win 38 games. I don't know. That might happen. But the Grizzlies have lost a lot, and if you look at the schedule going forward, you know, I'm almost saying that you got to continue doing what you're doing. Obviously, you do, but I don't know how well you can do that with the schedule coming up, because you got the Spurs tomorrow night at the Forum. You got at the Heat, at the Rockets. The Bucks coming in next Wednesday, at Boston, at Toronto, and the Pelicans again on Monday, the January 21st. Well, that starts a 5-game homestand. I mean, maybe you beat the Heat, you know, but they've already beaten before. You lose the Spurs, probably. The Heat in that situation are the only team that I think you have a chance at. The Rockets, you lose. The Bucks, you probably lose. Celtics, you probably lose. Raptors, you probably lose. I mean, this is going to be the continuing situation if the Grizzlies don't rectify this Mark situation. They're going to continue to do exactly this. They're going to continue to be meandering through this abyss of the middle, where you can't really be bad, because now if you're bad, you still get the 8th pick, and that's the worst spot. You don't want to be eighth in the eighth draft. I mean, that's the worst spot you can be in. And you'd rather be 9th and give it away and just get rid of it. Because if you're bad this year, and you know, you might be bad again next year, where you actually need that pick, or in a better draft. And so, you know, the Grizzlies have to rectify this Mark situation. Either he has to sit and get healthier and get back to where he was at the beginning of the year, or they're going to have to seriously consider maybe looking on to move him. And I'm getting very, very close to becoming the champion of trademark this year, because it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch him pass up on threes. It's frustrating to watch him not play you know, the game like he's supposed to, whatever, you know, the Mark plays in his version of basketball, which quite frankly doesn't really make sense to anybody but him, that this version, that this perfect basketball game, this just doesn't exist. And so continuing to watch him pass up shots that he should take, continue to watch him, you know, go out there and play 30 minutes a night when he's hurt, it's just not effective. You know, these are things that you can't do, you know. And if you're in, and at some point, like I said before, if you're the franchise, you have to step in and be able to tell your star player, not only for his health, for the team's the health of the team, for the sake of the team, you have to tell him what you're going to do. You know, you're his boss. Just because you told Chandler Parsons to go away because you don't want him no more, Chris Wallace has to step in and tell Mark, you have to sit down. And it starts there with Marc Gasol. Getting back on the winning side of things is going to start with him and the way he plays. Make sure you stay tuned for tomorrow's show. I got Joe Mullenix on the show tomorrow, but we changed his weekly segment to Wednesdays now. He'll be on the third segment of tomorrow's show. Grizzlies take on the Spurs tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the Forum. So make sure you go down for that. Should be a good game. Probably a loss, but I still think they might make it a good game. Hopefully they might make it a good game, because no one wants to watch a losing effort, and I certainly don't want to cover a losing team. But that's what we do, that's what we do. We'll continue to press on, continue with the shows. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you're following the show at on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you go like the Facebook page at Facebook/ Locked On Grizzlies. If you have a chance, please have it over to iTunes and leave us a rate and review. It would be great. It really helps the show get higher in the rankings and on the sports part of the iTunes app. So if you can, leave me a review over there. Other than that, if you want to be a featured sponsor on this show, make sure you email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go to the lockedongrizzlies.com page.